Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word, means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. I have good news. It's finally come down to form one new humanity, which makes a full dwelling place of God by His Spirit. If you could only grasp, it's as if a Gentile Christian is not complete until a Jewish believer links up in that body. And you see, and that Jewish believer is not complete until he links up with a Gentile believer. That's what Paul is so ecstatic about. He says the reason Jesus came was to break down that wall of separation. So those two spiritual DNAs will merge together. And just maybe that was what Jesus was talking about when he said, you'll do the same works I have done and even greater. Because we're coming into that season where the middle wall of separation is coming down between Jew and Gentile. I have on the telephone Michael Kaler. I've been looking forward to interviewing him because he has a supernatural gift to get you out of the struggle mode and walk as a true son and a true daughter of the Lord. Now, Michael, you have a wonderful heritage. You were telling me before we went on the air that your hero was your grandfather, and he was a protege of William Branham, and he must have understood a lot about healing because he lived about 100 years of age, but when he was 96 years of age, he was hit by a milk truck.
Yeah, that's correct. He had been in the ministry his whole life, and when he was 96, he had gotten run over, and everyone expected him to die, like, really quickly. And, of course, his heritage being in that ministry brought him to a place to where in 2 weeks he was totally healed and back ministering behind the pulpit again, which was awesome. Just an amazing, he was an amazing man.
Now, why did you tell me he was your hero?
Well, he had such a heart for people and such a compassion, and he was, every day he would, first thing he would do was spend time with the Lord, which to me was a great model. And he was one of these guys, even though he was maybe at a different culture, he totally accepted and loved you and was filled with hope for you. So for me, he was just an amazing guy. And, I'm honored to follow in his footsteps by keeping the ministry going.
Now, when you were just 12 years of age, you had quite a supernatural experience. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I did. When I was at 12, our family at that time was going to, we had moved away and we were relocated. And at the time, we were going to a denominational church and they had Sunday night meetings. And when I was 12, the last thing I wanted to do was just sit in the classroom all the time. I wanted to honor my folks, so I tried to go. But every once in a while, to be honest with you, I'd play hooky until they finally realized that, hey, you know, you need to be coming here. So I went, and on this particular Sunday night, I remember sitting there, and I was honestly just bored out of my head. And I'm looking around, and suddenly, out of nowhere, the wall I'm looking at turns into a cross. I mean, it's like a 3D cross. It seems to just come out of the wall towards me, and I was shocked. I mean, everything inside of me wanted to stand up and shout, look at that. But I was more of a reserved kind of guy, so I kept it to myself, and the cross just stayed there for several minutes and then finally disappeared. And I was shocked. I mean, and it affected me from that point on because I began to realize, you know, I had always read Bible stories, of course, growing up, and seeing these wonderful men of God in the Old Testament do these amazing, like, supernatural things. And it's, wow, you know, here's a guy making an axe head float and all of this stuff. So I really had a hunger for more than I was getting. And I remember standing in my backyard one day and praying to say, God, you know, I want the faith that these Old Testament prophets had, which at the time, I had no clue what I was praying, but I was just hungry. You know, I was hungry for more reality of God. And it was soon after that, I'm sitting there in this meeting, and this cross appears. And as I begin to, think
about it. So you figure God heard your prayer.
Well, he did. And, you know, I think it was connected, too. Again, you know, you go back to that family. Family's so important. And, you know, I know my grandfather and mom and dad, they were always praying for us. And I think when you're hungry like that, I think God's ear is automatically tuned to the hunger, no matter what age, because, you know, even at 12, you don't get a junior Holy Spirit. You get the full Holy Spirit then. And it was an amazing event.
Now, what's this business? And when you were about 18, you were taken up. Explain that to me.
Well, this was actually one summer, some friends of mine, we were sitting around, and to be honest with you, again, we were like, okay, what are we going to do? And my friend said, well, maybe we should just pray. And I thought, I don't want to pray. I don't feel like praying, but okay, let's do it. And so he began to pray, and then it came around to my turn to pray, and I thought, okay, here we go. But as I began to pray, it was the craziest thing. As I prayed, the best way I can describe it is like someone just took me out of my body and lifted me up, and I felt like I was ascending up. And it was very, you know, I can remember it like it was yesterday. The view was very white, and, you know, it was good, but it scared me. I mean,
I heard Kenneth Copeland share a story that something like that happened to him once, and he was scared.
Yep.
And he was so sorry because he felt God wanted to do even more. I wonder if that's what was going on with you.
Oh, I think I totally agree, because I think I was so nervous God had grace on me and just stopped, you know, and then let me go back to the room with my friends. But I was shocked. I mean, my friends kept looking at me after that and asking me what's going on, because they said I was, you know, white as a sheet. But I think God probably did want to do more, but, you know, he's so gracious.
Okay. At 20, you're part of a Christian band.
Right.
And you go to a Baptist youth convention.
Oh, yeah.
And was this the first time supernatural laughter came on you?
Oh, yeah, it was. And it will tell you, it was one of the most amazing things because, you know, when you go to a Baptist convention for youth, it's not, you know, their focus is a little different. And so one night we're our band's together in one of the dorms. We all stayed in the dorm room. And that night we thought, well, let's pray before the meetings, you know, get ready for the meetings in the morning. And so as we began to pray, we're just sitting in the floor in a circle, and something came over me like that scripture says, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Well, that began to happen. I mean, I tangibly felt something going on inside of me to the point that when I started laughing, I laughed till I cried, and I started beating the floor.
Had you ever seen that before?
No, I'd never seen it. I had no clue.
And you know, when something I saw, and I'll never forget it, a little 8-year-old kid, the holy laughter came over him, and he was doing what you just said. He was beating it was like he could not stop laughing, and there was nothing funny going on.
That's exactly right. I didn't know what to make of it. It kept going to the point I finally said, Lord, please, please stop. I can't take any more of this. And honestly, about 5 seconds later, it stopped. And I thought, oh, no, wait a minute. No, more, you know, more, Lord, I will take more.
Well, you know, it says in Scripture, a merry heart is good medicine, and doctors have found you release certain chemicals into your body when you laugh that actually cure you of cancer. And that's some doctors recommend watching comedies. How much more when God is causing that laughter?
Oh, I agree. I agree totally. That's an amazing text. And it really revolutionized my view of how God deals with us, that he's really good, and what he has for us is always good. And it was soon after I asked the Lord to stop, and actually started it back up again, and it just kept going on and on until we got a knock on the door.
Mm-hmm.
And we jumped up, and the guy that knocked on the door was the director of the conference, and he said, look, I know what's going on in there, and you guys had better stop it. And we thought, well, we can't stop it. And he says, I know what this is, so you guys just need to stop it right now. And we come to find out that, you know, this wonderful man had been a part of a Pentecostal denomination in the past, but, you know, now he's with a different denominational group. So, you know, he wanted things to tone down, but it's sort of hard to do it, to tone down when you're just sort of overwhelmed like that. It's amazing. It was an amazing encounter.
Well, you have had so many amazing encounters. You're provoking me to jealousy. I mean, this is a man that has prayed for the deaf, and they can hear, and the blind, they can see, people with cancer, tumors, lame walk, pains just disappear. But there are certain key points where you learned these things, especially when you had a disease yourself that you should have died of. It was a totally incurable disease. But I'm very excited to get your 6-CD teaching called The School of Supernatural Ministry, Discover the World of the Supernatural, because when people listen to you teach, there is a strong impartation. Has anyone told you that before? It's like you cause the faith to grow to such a point that there isn't even any struggle in that area, and their expectancy goes through the roof. Are you aware of that?
Well, I've had people make various comments before, and you know, I remind folks that, you know, when you encounter God that way, it changes the way you look at reality. And I know for me, encountering him with various, supernatural realities, you know, it brought me to a place instead of really struggling to believe and, you know, struggle to have faith. It's hard to explain, but you have it. It's just there. I mean, you believe different.
But what's so wonderful is not that you have it. What's so wonderful is that anyone that sits under your teaching gets so charged up and receives the goods that they can do what you do.
Oh, I definitely agree, because it's all a transference of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, he's not a respecter of people, and what he does through one, he does through another. And you know, I think sometimes he wants to do more through us than we even want to do ourselves.
Well, there's someone listening to us right now and is saying, that's me. I want you to get the 6 CDs, The School of Supernatural Ministry, Discover the Wonderful World of the Supernatural, for a gift of $35. Call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. 1-800-447-2697. You're married, you're 25 years of age, and all of a sudden you have an incurable disease. Am I pronouncing this right? Sarcoidosis?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, so tell me about Mr. Sarcoidosis.
Okay. We've just been married. My wife and I, Sherry, have been married a little under 2 years, just had our first daughter. And I noticed I came down with a cough in January that year, and it just wouldn't quit. And she finally twisted my arm to go to the doctor about 3 or 4 weeks later. So I went in because I'd lost like 20 pounds that month.
Because you were coughing a lot?
That was one of the symptoms, but I wasn't hungry either. My appetite was gone.
Hmm.
So all this weight started dropping off, and I was getting weak. And so I go to the doctor, and he says, we need to do a biopsy. So they scheduled me for a biopsy. They do it. And he said, listen, I'll know in 2 weeks what the biopsy is, but he says, I believe you have either sarcoidosis, you have tuberculosis, or you have lung cancer. And I'm sitting there thinking, what? And I've got to wait 2 weeks.
You don't want to open any of those doors.
And at the time, they had no cure. Nothing was going on there as far as medically for those diseases. And so I waited, and then 2 weeks later, he tells me I have this disease. He says, I hate that you have this one, because eventually it will shut down your organs. And he explained how this all worked. And he says, well, we can...
That sounds almost like Lou Gehrig's disease, where the body shuts down.
Yeah. It affected the organs. It affects the liver, the eyes, the lungs, everything. And he said, we can treat you with steroids to try and control it. He says, but there is no cure for it. We don't even know the origin of it, where it comes from. So at the time, I'm thinking, what? I'm thinking, Lord, no. I have a brand new baby daughter. I have a new wife. This is not right. you know, she doesn't need to be a widow, and I can't imagine my daughter growing up without a father. I mean, I just like, no, this is just not right. So I pulled out some wonderful healing tapes and tapes on faith that I had received from a man I'd actually used to travel for. His name was Norval Hayes back in the day, and I'd kept his tapes on healing and faith because it was all new to me in the aspect of how the Holy Spirit really worked in that area. And so I just got them out and began to listen and fill my heart with the Word of God and begin to, you know, the importance of aligning my conversation up with what God says instead of what I, you know, may feel. So I really got into that. And about 2 months later, I went back for another gamut of tests. But this time when the test came back, he pulled me in the office and he said, I can't explain this. Here are your test results before and after, but you're totally cured of this disease. You don't have any of it anymore in your body anywhere. So needless to say, we were excited. We were thrilled. And I want to tell you, at that point, I realized how much God wants to bring healing to all of us. You know, healing is good, and he has nothing but goodness for us. And I think that all of us walk in that opportunity to receive healing. I don't think that God withholds healing from any of us. It's for his kids. You know, he says, Jesus says.
Now, speaking of healing, though, your wife had such pain that, and it was so bad that she almost was suicidal.
Yeah.
And this was like for 10 years. It's not 10 minutes.
Yes.
I mean, and I can under, that must have been horrible, excruciating pain. What happened with that condition?
Well, it was. She had, we never ever really found out what it was, but it began in her neck and shoulder and down the arm. And it was like, eventually it came like she was just, it was on fire and in pain all the time. Chronic, she could never sleep on that side. She couldn't use that arm very well. And over the years, it just continued to multiply, and the pain got worse. And we decided that we were going to go up to Toronto to when the Toronto Blessing began in the mid-90s. And I remember she told me that, you know, one of the nights before we left, it was so bad that she thought about, you know, I can't do this anymore. I just can't live life anymore like this. And then the Holy Spirit said to her, but you're going to Toronto. And she realized that no matter what she was dealing with at the time, that there was hope. I mean, the Holy Spirit has spoke to her about this. So we go up there, and Randy Clark was teaching at this particular meeting. And, of course, the Holy Spirit comes in. Randy's an amazing friend of ours, and he's just an amazing minister. And the Holy Spirit was there, and the Holy Spirit begins to just really pour over Sherry, where she's sort of laying in the front there at the altar, and someone comes along and begins to pray for her. She said he had this beautiful British accent, and she noticed that when he began to pray for her, something was going on. And then as this progressed, I had Randy come and begin to pray for her, and Randy felt like he'd seen some kind of infirming spirit on her shoulder without even telling him what was going on. So he began to pray for her, and as he did, between the what was going on in the meeting, she began to receive this encounter from the Lord. And we went on up to bed that night. And the next morning, when she woke up sleeping on that side that she hadn't been able to sleep on for years. And she noticed that when she sat up in bed, all the pain that she'd carried for all that time was gone.
You know, as we're talking, the presence of God is getting stronger and stronger. And I just heard that someone has pain in their neck. Mm. And if they would just move their head, all that pain would go. And there's others, like your wife, that has pain not just in the shoulder, but in the back area. And I believe if someone will bend over right now, they will bend into their healing. I really believe that. That's you. I'm talking to you right now. Is God showing you anything right now, Michael?
Well, when you said that, I actually saw, I saw a lower back inflamed, like it was on fire. So someone may be that may be part of what you're speaking of there. It's a very clear picture of it.
Well, you know, in 2004, here's the part that's provoking me to jealousy. I have to tell you, hooked up with Randy Clark again. You went to Brazil and tell me what happened, because I have to believe that was a life-changing moment for you.
Oh, my goodness. I could talk all day about this one.
I could listen all day about this one, but they don't know what we're talking about, so talk.
I had went to Brazil back then. I've been a minister and a pastor my whole life, and I'll just be honest with you. I was fried. I was tired. I was tired of church. I was tired of not seeing the reality of the kingdom like I would read about. And so I would read these amazing stories of these men and women of God with these amazing miracles, like John G. Lake and Smith Wigglesworth, Mariah Edwards, you know, all these people. I would cry, God, where is this? You know, I don't want to do this without this. And so I was really at a point of desperation and hunger. And Randy Clark called me and he said, Mike, you need to go with me to Brazil on a trip. And he began to tell me what was all going on. I said, okay, I'm going to go. And so I gathered things together and, you know, told some folks in our church I was going. And in the church, you know, some people say, well, you don't need to go there to get it. And I thought, you know, well, maybe I'd.
I've heard that so many times from people that have missed it because God wanted them to go there to get it. But go ahead.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I said, well, look, maybe God could do it here, but he's not, so I'm going down there. And so I decided to go, and we met Randy down there. And one of the wonderful things with Randy, of course, he carries this amazing ministry of impartation, and he prays for you before you go on and begin to minister with him. And so he's praying for me this first night. This is the first of many, several encounters I had. But this first night, I remember I'm waiting for him to come, and I'm really excited, you know, to receive something. And, of course, my mind's going, well, what if you don't receive anything? You know, what if you're the only one standing? And I thought, you know, I don't care. I'm desperate.
You know what I mean? The devil speaks to you the way he speaks to people listening right now?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I just sort of told myself to shut up, you know, just go for it. And so he came over and began to pray for me. But as he did, this fire came on me. I mean, and I had never experienced this in my life. And this fire was, I felt like I was in an oven. I mean, it was hot. I mean, I live in South Florida, and it's hot down here, but that was hot. And I began to sweat profusely, so much so it looked like I'd been put in a swimming pool. I began to shake, and I'm down on my knees. And again, part of me, I'm hearing this, what are you doing? You look stupid. What are you doing? And the other part of me said, just shut up. You know, I'm going to go with this. This is God. I'm hungry. And as this happened, I began to have this revelation. And suddenly, it was like my spiritual eyes were open, and I saw the angel that was with me. I saw him walk away, and a larger angel walk up.
Wait a second. Had you ever seen angels before?
No, not until then. That was the first.
So you saw the angel that accompanies you, and you saw a larger angel show up. What'd they look like?
I get this question all the time. They were large. They were entities. They were beings. They were like luminous. But they had a human figure, but luminous. I know that sounds weird, but it's the best way I can explain it. And one of them stood in front of me.
Now, did they know that you could see them?
I would think the one in front of me did, because he stood in front of me almost looking, and he took his finger and he put it in my forehead three different times, and I tangibly felt his finger go into my forehead three times, and this fire just kept accelerating. So I would think that the one there probably did.
Oh, we're out of time. Michael Koehler went to Brazil in 2004, and an evangelist by the name of Randy Clark started praying for him. And take it from there, Michael. What happened?
Well, as he continued to pray for me, I was receiving like revelation in, you know, how we have natural and spiritual eyes. It's like my spiritual eyes and natural eyes were becoming one and opening. And as he was praying for me, I was having this huge fire encounter.
Now, when you say fire, I have felt the warmth of the Holy Spirit. I've never really felt what is described as a fire. Is that what you really mean? It's that hot?
Oh, it's that hot. In fact, someone was taking pictures of it. I thought, you hold on to those pictures. Don't you give anybody. Because it looked like someone had just poured water all over me because I was perspiring so much because I was so hot. I mean, it was the fire.
Hey, do you have those pictures? I'd like to look at them.
Actually, I think we do.
Okay, well, I'll see you in a few weeks. I want you to bring them. Okay, well, but then you saw your angel for the first time.
Right.
And you saw another angel, and then what happened?
Well, this went on probably a half an hour. I'm down receiving this from the Lord. I'd heard this voice, and it just said, you've wanted it, and you've got it. And it was a voice of an angel just confirming that my hunger was going to be filled. And I sort of come to and realize, you know, something's going on here in a wonderful way because I was so desperate. I was hungry for more of God, so hungry for Him. I was tired of, you know, the disciplines. I needed some passion. And so I was with Randy there, and from there we go to another meeting. And this manifestation, this impartation, was not like a one-time event. When we're at this meeting, I'm sitting on stage with Randy, and he's ministering to, like, you know, probably about 2,500 Foursquare pastors.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes a mention about what had just happened to me. And he says, you know, he talked about where he prayed for Heidi Baker and the fire had come on her, and he said, there's a pastor with me on this team. And the same thing happened. And when he did, he waved his hand towards me. And I'm telling you, Sid, it was like someone turned a mist, water mist on me. I mean, I tangibly felt something come over me. It was the strangest thing. And as it did, I start shaking in my chair. And I'm thinking, what is going on here? And as I begin to shake, I'm literally bent over in my chair, sitting there, and I can't get up. And I'm sort of getting embarrassed because, you know, I'm sitting up there in front of everybody, and I'm a sort of a reserved kind of guy. And so I'm thinking, okay, I'll just sit here, I'll stay bent over, I'm shaking a little bit, and, you know, because I didn't want to distract from what Randy was doing. But the problem then is my feet started running in place. I mean, I'm sitting in a chair, I'm bent over, I can't get up, I'm shaking, and my feet start running. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, what is going on here? And again, you know, part of me wants to say, stop it. And But the hunger inside of me just says, no, just let it happen. Let God do what He wants to do. I mean, He did some strange things, and, you know, in the Old Covenant, so I thought, okay, well, let's go with this. Well, this began to happen. And the next thing, again, I know is I fall out. I'm laying on the floor behind Randy while he's teaching, and I start laughing again. It's similar to what happened when I was younger, like when I was 18, I had an encounter like that. And I began to laugh so hard that I can't stand up. And as soon as I try to stand up, it's like someone takes the floor and tilts it, and I fall flat, just laughing and laughing and and this goes on and on. And someone from the audience, by this time, Randy had called, you know, if you want prayer, come forward. Well, someone jumped up on stage and jumped on my back and held me around my neck. And I'm going, what? What's going on?
Why is he doing that?
Well, I asked my translator. I said, what's he doing? And she said, oh, he wants what you've got.
Oh, I got it.
But I could only hold him for a little bit, and I finally just sort of flung him off and said, I'm sorry, you're just going to have to go get it yourself. I don't know what to do. And so this impartation just kept going. I couldn't quit laughing. You know, it was a very similar kind of thing. And they literally, I mean, this is ridiculous, but they carried me out and put me on the bus. And the next thing I know, you know, we stopped to get some a snack, and I'm in the restaurant. They help me get in the restaurant. I'm standing in the restaurant, and I see, oh, there's some chocolate milk over here, so I want to get up and get some. But as soon as I stand up, the restaurant floor flips, and I'm laying in the middle of a restaurant floor in Brazil laughing again. And I couldn't stop it. And, you know, I didn't care. At that point, I really didn't care because what was going on was amazing. While I was laying on the stage, I didn't tell you this part, but I was like whisked away into an angelic realm. I saw this darkness. I saw these angels. I saw this stuff that I'd never seen before. And as I kept watching, it's like someone took me and brought me to the front of this room. And as I'm standing in the door space of this room, there's angels in there, and they're moving around, and suddenly they all like line up. And I hear this voice say, they are here for you. And they thought of, you know, ministering spirit sent to minister to the elect sort of came into mind. And so after all this happens is about the time they start carrying me out of the building. That was huge. That impact to realize, like, you know what, God never called us to minister under our own power. That, you know, if he calls us to do something, he calls us to do something with him in mind, you know, and with his abilities. And so, you know, even though I can't maybe explain everything of why it happened the way it did in this particular second story, I have to tell folks, you know, all I can say is you've got to look at the fruit. You know, I can't explain all this, but I can say, look at the fruit of what's happened. And
now, just out of curiosity, did the angels or did the Lord speak to you during these various encounters?
Well, it was during the second one. Yeah, I think it was an angel said, you know, showing me these angels, that these angels were like assigned to me. I heard these are here for you. And I think it had a lot to do with just living life in ministry, understanding that I'm not alone, you know, that someone is going with me, that where I go, the fire follows, but it's not my fire, it's the fire of the Holy Spirit kind of thing. And because I'll be honest with you, Sid, before I went down there, I was just like ready to quit. And after that event, after those encounters, my life and my family's life, our ministry, turned 180 degrees in the opposite direction. And we have seen more miraculous events and supernatural activity in these past several years than I had seen my entire ministry put together before.
Wait a second, Michael. The anointing is coming again really strong. You know, there is what's called the power of the testimony. Mm-hmm. As you are reliving this by sharing it, the anointing is getting so strong that I believe you could pray for an impartation right now over the air.
Oh, that sounds great. Yes, let me do that. Holy Spirit, I just want to thank you that you are faithful, and your ear is always tuned to the cry of the hunger on the hungry heart, Lord. And Holy Spirit, as if I was right there, I lay my hands upon those listening, and I just release your impartation. I release a transference of fire. I release a transference of the manifestation of the power of your kingdom into those that are listening right now. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come in great power. I ask that you would release healing fire. Come now. That there would even be those that would begin to feel in their hands, they'll begin to get fire in their hands, and that's just a sign of that wonderful healing gift. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that some are even beginning to feel a warm sensation start on their head, almost like honey that will just trickle down. Lord, I want to thank you for that. And Lord, even some are beginning to shake and cry because of your presence, Lord. And so, Lord, I'm asking that you would increase that you'd give them more than what they're asking for. Lord, give them more than what they think they deserve. Lord, give them more. Lord, fulfill their hunger in such an amazing way that they'll just fall passionately so much in love with you that they won't be able to stop talking about you, Lord. So, Lord, I'm asking for that kind of supernatural encounter to come. Come now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord.
Boy, I don't really want to talk. It's such a wonderful presence of God in the studio right now. But after that event, everything started happening with you and your family. Tell me about the angels that show up with body parts.
Yeah, that was different. I'll be honest with you. I'm ministering. My daughter's with me, Tiffany. We're in a church, and I'm ministering. And as I look up, I see an angel come in the back door. And there's it's carrying a platter, like a silver tray kind of platter. And the closer it gets, I'm looking down, and at these particular organs, actually, one of them was a uterus and one of them was a bladder. And I thought, what? And then I suddenly realized, okay, there's healing here. You know, the presence of God for healing is now. And so I just stopped, you know, because I'm not really a lot into formality. So I just stopped. I said, okay, I think healing is happening right now. If you are in this room and you are having an issue with your bladder or your uterus, and possibly you're wanting to have kids, I want you to stand up. And so when I did, we had people all over the room stand up just for those two issues, for those body parts. And so we released the ministry team and we began to pray for them. And I'm going to tell you, when you begin to pray for people in that cult.
Real quick, there are people that want to stand up that have those two conditions. Pray for them quickly, right now.
That's right. So in the Holy Spirit, I just ask that your power be released. In Jesus' name, I just release healing into the bladder area, into the urinary tract, and I release healing fire to come to the uterus in Jesus' name. And I command pregnancies to come in Jesus' name into these women that have been longing to have children. So Holy Spirit, let fire come, healing fire now into the body, into the urinary tract. We release healing. And Lord, I thank you for releasing healing into the uteruses right now, 100% healing right now, Holy Spirit, for these people right now in Jesus' name. I want to thank you for that, Lord.
Okay, if you want more of this teaching, there is such an impartation on this teaching that Michael believes, and many people that have heard his 6-CD, School of the Supernatural Ministry, Discovering the World of the Supernatural, many are moving in the power of God. It's like there will be no more struggle for you to do what God wants you to do for a gift of $35. Call our order only line, 1-800-447-2697. 1-800-447-2697. Michael Kaler was in Brazil in 2004, and for the first time, he saw angels. He saw many angels. Since that point, Michael, are you seeing angels?
Yeah, we still can continue to see them, especially during ministry times. It's pretty exciting. Or actually, to be honest with you, we were at lunch the other day, and there was one that appeared. So it's like, okay, we're not really sure when they're going to appear, but they just appear.
Now, do you know why they appear? Why did it appear at lunch?
Well, I think in this particular issue, I was talking to someone about their life, and it was a sustaining confirmation for them. Because when I told them that, of course, they just sort of couldn't believe it. They were so overwhelmed. But I think a lot of times for me and for other people, it's a confirmation of an encounter that helps just solidify the truth and the destiny that's on your life. Because sometimes we just need encounter from God. Sometimes we just don't need another sermon. You know, we need some kind of affirmation. And when the angels show up like that, it's wonderful to affirm us in that way.
Well, in Brazil in 2004, when you had that amazing encounter, you ministered to 200 youth.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? What happened that doesn't normally happen with you?
Well, it was like night and day, I'll be honest with you. I was asked to speak to this 200 youth in a youth conference. So as I walk in the room, they're already ministering and the band's playing. And right before I walk in, though, I'm told that he said, look, I just want you to know that most of these kids do not want to be here tonight. Their parents made them come. And I'm thinking, oh, great. So I walk in and I sit in the back. And as I did, the Lord spoke to me and says, I do not want you to teach. I do not want you to preach tonight. And that was it. And I thought, okay, well, I can do that. And so when it came to my time to minister to them, I got up and I introduced myself, you know, said where I was from and a little bit about my family. And I said, look, I'm not going to preach to you tonight. I said, I just want us all to experience what it's like to have a father come and really love us and touch us and affirm us. And so what I did is I just asked if everyone would stand up. And so I had all the kids stand up, and when I at that point, I just asked the Holy Spirit, would you come? Holy Spirit, come into this room. And I asked them if you would, like, hold your hands out, like someone's going to give you a gift, and close your eyes. And if you begin to feel something or experience something, let it happen. Don't be afraid of it. Let's just, we're safe here. We're all family. Let's just let it happen. And so while we're doing this, I just wait. You know, I just stood there and waited, and in a few minutes, nothing was going on. And then suddenly, in the front section, these girls begin to laugh. Two, three, and then suddenly there's like 15 or 20 girls that are uncontrollably laughing, you know, similar to some of the experiences I had. And I'm looking over here, and I'm going, oh, my goodness, this is amazing. And they just sort of like fall on the floor laughing. And then when I look to my left, there's a guy, a young man, sobbing. I mean, he is crying desperately, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, you know, this is different. And then after a few more minutes, because I'm just waiting, you know, the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. So I'm just waiting, and in the back, there's these screams, and these girls start jumping up and down, and they're crying and smiling, and I'm thinking, wow, what's going on here? This is really good. And so I asked for a testimony. God said, come, just tell us what's going on. And so the young man, I had him come forward, and I said, well, what happened? And he said, and he's terrified. He has this look of terror in his eyes, and you can really tell because he's young. And he said, do you think I'm healed? And I said, well, I'm not sure. What happened? And he said, well, I was just standing there. He said, an angel come, and he took me away, and he laid me on this bed, and there was this gold dust falling on me, and he stuck his hand into my side. He said, what happened? I said, I just smiled. I said, well, what's your disease? And he said, well, he is a diabetic. And the angel stuck his hand into this young man's pancreas. And I said, well, I think God's done something wonderful here. Why don't you go to your doctor and let him tell you what happened? And so after that, I had these girls that were crying and laughing in the back come up and tell me what had happened. And the girl came forward and she said, I was a ballerina. I've been a ballerina, you know, on my whole life. And 6 weeks ago, I was in a terrible car accident, and I crushed both my ankles, and I'm not able to really walk on them. And any time I put pressure on the heels of my feet, bad pain just shoots up through my legs because of my ankles. And she said, while you were standing there praying, it's like someone poured honey, and she used the word warm honey, down on my head, and it poured down my body. And when it got to my ankles, all the pain that was in my ankles disappeared. And when I put my feet down, my heels on the floor, there was no more pain, and I could jump, and, you know, I feel like I can dance again. And she was 100% healed from that tragic car accident that she'd been in 6 weeks earlier. And we had one other guy walk in the room, and he's one of these, you know how you can tell when someone sort of thinks they're a player, for lack of a better word. I don't know what word to use, but he walks in, and he takes three steps, and he looks around, and he falls on the floor.
He was full of himself, is what I think you're saying.
He falls in the middle of the floor, and so people rush to get him. They take him out and minister to him, and come to find out he was demonized.
Mm.
And so they...
Oh, he was full of something more than himself then.
Right. And so he walked into a room filled with the presence of the Lord. And, you know, when those two kingdoms collide, we know who wins. So they brought deliverance to him. And when he walked back in the room, everyone was saying, who is it? This guy does not even look the same at all. Now, this kind of ministry I just described, this had not happened before. You know, and I've been in the ministry my whole life and been in the charismatic movement. And, you know, but this was different. And I think it was just a direct result of being really activated into the realm of the supernatural, which is God's normal. But for me at that time, it sure wasn't normal.
Well, speaking about God's normal, tell me about the time you were transported to a supernatural room.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that was another encounter I'd had. We were at a meeting, and it was coming close to ministry time, and I'm sitting on a stage, and the Holy Spirit comes on me again. But this time I knew what it was. It happened enough. And I was ignited with the fire of God. This happened again to me. This fire, this whatever, oven of God came on me. I was on my knees. I was shaking, and I was so on fire. And as this continued to happen, I felt like someone took the back of my neck. Now, this is weird, but someone took the back of my neck and almost was slamming me face down on the floor and pulling me back up. And this would go on and on and on.
Now, there's someone saying, why would God do that? What do you say to that person?
Well, I would say, I'm not sure why, but he's definitely getting my attention. And you just have to look at the fruit to see that it was God. But this had happened for a while until my stomach was hurting and my neck was sort of hurting, the muscles. And I said, okay, this is enough. And I sort of felt like there was angelic involvement involved. And I said, okay, that's enough. Stop. And you know what? It stopped. But once it stopped, it was like someone injected me with anesthesia and I was gone. I mean, I was no longer in that church building. And when I look up, I'm on my knees and I am I'm right before the Lord. And again, I see the angels on my left and on my right, and there is the Lord. And I hear him say very clearly, he says, son, I want to get something straight with you. And I looked up, and he said, I am your father. And that meant a lot to me. I mean, that was huge. And the next thing I knew is I'm sort of laying my head on his chest. And he begins to speak to me some other things. And, I have such an overwhelming sense of just affirmation of being a son. It's sort of hard to describe. And as I'm there, I begin to hear this tone. And I'm a musician, and I'm used to tones and sounds and stuff, but I'd never in my life heard anything like this before. It was the most purest, resonant, clearest, cleanest tone I think I'd ever heard in my life. And I hear this. It's like permeating this whole room, this area that I'm in. And suddenly I'm just aware that this tone is joy, that there is a sound of joy, and that sound permeates heaven. And at about this point, when I'm coming to this understanding, the next thing I knew, it's like you're being taken out. And I vaguely remember seeing, before I'm back in the church, I remember seeing crystal buildings that look crystal. And the next thing I know, I'm back in the church, and my really good friends Gary and Kathy Oates and my wife are just standing there waiting on me to come back, I guess. And I look up, and I'm just out of it, and they start laughing, and they said, okay, I guess we need to go back to the hotel. So they help me walk to a cab. We get in the cab, and we get back to the hotel, and the next thing I know is the bellman and Gary are carrying me up to my hotel room. And they put me in my room, put me on the bed, and I'm gone. I mean, I'm not myself. And Sherry, my wife, gets my journal out, and she just begins to record as I begin to talk, because I wanted to remember everything that happened. And this encounter really lasted for a couple of days, because I remember the next morning, I go downstairs and I'm having breakfast, and Kathy Oates is there, and we're talking, and as soon as I start talking about the kingdom, that fire lights up on me again. It was crazy.
You are seeing the deaf here, the blind. What is it like to see someone blind get their sight back? Tell me about one person.
Well, it just really changes the way you look at life forever. You're just sort of not the same, and you start seeing these miraculous events, and especially when they respond, because when they receive healing, you see the compassion of Jesus, and you know not only them, but their whole family gets transformed, because, my goodness, they live with a person that's been blind. I remember praying for someone that was blind, and the first time they received their sight, it's like you sort of couldn't contain them. They started crying and laughing, and we tested it, of course. We said, okay, can you read this? And they would sit there, and they would read it, where before they couldn't. And what it does to you inside is like, I don't know, it's like a joy bomb or something goes off inside of you, because it's just, it, it's like it happens to you, but not really. I mean, it's extremely exciting.
Tell me about that person who was dying with two tumors.
Oh, that was amazing. We had just completed some meetings. We had been in a town for like 3 or 4 weeks, and we were asked to go like at midnight to pray for this young lady's grandmother. So we go to the hospital, and she's in this room with four other people, and we're in the city in Brazil where actually they just put them in there because they have no more hope for them. They're just going to die. And this grandmother had had two tumors, been in a coma for 2 weeks, and expected her to die in 2 to 3 days. And so Sherry and I go in and begin to pray for her. And as we begin to pray for her, an angel, a real amazing angel walks in. Just the sense was amazing. And there was no physical manifestation at that point, and we began to pray for her, and then the other ladies asked, would we pray for them? And so we began to pray for the other three ladies in the room, and by the time we got to the last lady, began to pray for her, the grandmother, who had been in a coma for 2 weeks, sets up in bed. She's wide awake, and she's asking, what happened and what's going on? We're shocked in a good way. And so her granddaughter begins to explain to her, you know, these men, these people from America are here, and they came to pray for you. And she said, well, what happened? Well, what's going on? And so she began to tell her what had happened. And the result was, after we had left, this lady who was supposed to die in 3 days went home within a week, totally healed. The tumors were gone. Everything was back to normal for her.
Mm. Now, you're having wonderful results with people with cancer. Tell me about the person that had their femur that was destroyed.
Yeah, we were actually in Yakima, Washington at Shiloh Christian Center praying for a lady there after some meetings, and she had cancer in her femur bone, and they stuck a rod in there to hold her bones together because they were so feeble, the cancer was eating them up so bad. And so we just prayed for her, for that, I believe it was on a Sunday. Well, the next day she went in for her normal scans and stuff for the treatment they're doing for her. And this time when they do the scans, they do another scan, they do two scans, and they bring her in the office and ask her, well, what have you been doing? And she says, well, I've just been going to church and having someone praying for me. And he said, well, I can't explain this, but here's your scan before, and here's your scan now. All the cancer in the femur is gone, and your bone has grown back, which was extremely exciting.
I am sure. Tell me about the first time you saw gold teeth and fillings.
Well, we were in Winchester, Virginia. We've been going to this wonderful church, Agape Center there in Winchester, and we just felt like the Lord was really wanting to do something there. So we've been doing some meetings, and on June 1st of that year, my wife was there speaking and at the church. And at the end of the service, the Lord gave her a word beforehand that he was going to put his glory in the mouth of his people. And at the end of that particular service, there was like 11 or 12 people suddenly had gold fillings appear in their mouth. Well, this was so exciting. Of course, you know, it's very exciting. The youth pastor goes and tells his mechanic the next day that he's getting his car fixed about what was going on. And the mechanic, of course, just sort of flustered out, yeah, well, whatever. And he said, no, I bet God would give you a gold filling. And the mechanic says, yeah, right. He says, no, I think he would. He said, go look, go in the mirror and look, go in the bathroom and look. So the mechanic walks into the bathroom, looks in the mirror, and sure enough, he's got a gold filling in his mouth in the mechanic there in the garage. Well, the mechanic's mother is the bookkeeper, and she comes out because they're, you know, sort of excited. And she says, what's going on? And he says, Mom, look, I have a gold filling. And the youth pastor says, you know, I bet God will give you a gold filling too. She says, oh, I don't think so. And they said, open your mouth. She opened her mouth, and I'm not kidding, she had a gold filling there in the garage as well. Well, the tow truck driver came by asking what is going on, and they told him, and sure enough, the exact same thing happened to this guy. He got a gold filling in his mouth. And this was not in the church. This was outside in the garage. Where the youth pastor was getting his car fixed. And so these gold appearances started happening and gold dust. And in one account, the wonderful thing about the Winchester, there's a Winchester outpouring started that several churches got together. And one of them was this wonderful Baptist church there, but one of the leaders was just very skeptical of all of the, the gold and didn't feel like maybe this the direction they needed to go in. And so he just decided, him and his wife, and he happened to be the head deacon of the church, decided that they were not going to go back to this church anymore. And so Sunday morning, the wife, of course, wanted to go. And he says, I told you, we're not going back to that church. If this is the direction the pastor is going in, we're not doing this. And they're standing there in their home, and she begins to shake, and she says, honey, you need to go look in the mirror. He went and looked in the mirror, and when he did, he didn't have a gold filling. He had an entire gold molar. His molar turned gold. And he said, by his own words, he said, I have just eaten the biggest crow of my life. I feel like I'm the most humble man on the earth. He came back and gave me his testimony about what had happened, and when he did, all the skepticism in the church about signs and wonders and miraculous events, it just dissipated. And to this day, that church is booming because, you know, you're just seeing the result of a miraculous kingdom being displayed. I mean, it's amazing.
Now, you teach what God is teaching you so that others can do what you're doing. And one of the things that I heard you teaching on that was so wonderful to me is that many people, when they soak, they kind of just blank out. They don't think about anything. Or they may think of their laundry list of what they have to do.
Right.
And both are wrong. You talk about where the focus should be. Explain that.
That's so true. Well, the focus, you know, a lot of times focus is huge because there are even people, you know, who use this type of focus, focusing in, and they get messages from the other side. For example, you know, you see people that read a crystal ball. Well, they really don't read a crystal ball. What they're doing is they're allowing themselves to receive information. They are receiving from the demonic realm, from other sources from there. But as a Christian, our focus has got to be on what the Holy Spirit is doing upon us at that time, at that moment. And so many people are so leery to let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do just because they've been taught that he doesn't do it this way. But I tell you, I've discovered that one huge encounter from God will erase a lot of bad theology. And so we teach people, you know, when the Holy Spirit's coming on you and your focus is there and you're soaking, trust that he is doing this. You have to give yourself permission to believe that this is the Lord. And as you do that, you sort of surrender to what he wants, and you begin then to move into that realm where you may receive visions, you may receive an encounter, you may begin to receive a physical manifestation of fire. Many, many people will receive fire in their hands, and it's an impartation, a confirmation of healing for them and through them.
Well, as people are listening to you right now, the presence of God is coming on them. They can feel the Holy Spirit bubbling within them. And can you imagine listening to 6 CDs of teaching? And it's called the School of Supernatural Ministry, Discover the World of the Supernatural. Can you imagine what's going to happen to you? Tell me one person that went to your school or listened to these CDs and what happened to them.
Well, we have one couple that went grocery shopping. And as they were shopping, this lady rolled up in a wheelchair. And, of course, you know, as Christians, we want to pray for the sick. And so they just got on their knees in the middle of the grocery store and asked the lady if they could pray for her. And she said, sure. And most people think you're going to go home and pray for her. But they prayed for her right there in the middle of the grocery aisle. And as they prayed for her, they asked her, get up. See if you can get up and walk. And you know what? That lady got up and walked out of her wheelchair, started walking down the aisles. You know, not only to the amazement of her, but the manager of the store came to him and said, what did you do to that lady? She's always in here in a wheelchair. She's walking now.
Stop just listening and become a doer of the word. I want you to get these 6 CDs because Michael has a gifting so that you will be able to walk in an open heaven. It'll be no more struggle for you. Because your expectancy from this teaching and the anointing on it will just go right through the roof. He has such a strong gift to impart faith for the supernatural. The 6 CDs, called the School of Supernatural Ministry, Discover the World is Supernatural, available for a gift of $35. To hear this week's interview in its entirety, or to watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521.